Hey, 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 everybody. Welcome to Michelle is Money Hungry. I'm your host, Michelle Jackson. And today we're talking about how to go from blogger to author. This show is sponsored by the Money on the Mountain Retreat, a financial retreat for financially single women. Early bird tickets do finish on February 28th. So definitely grab those early bird tickets. You will get more information and the link to that in the show notes. In order to access the show notes, go to michelleismoneyhungry.com/AutumnStoneWriter. About how I went from being a blogger to adding author to the end of my name. It wasn't as complicated as it feels like it should be, and it's kind of a funny story. So first things first, I am a bibliophile. I'm obsessed with books. I'm obsessed with reading. Some of my favorite memories are spending time reading. When I was a little girl growing up in Boulder, Colorado, at that time, we used to have the children's section in a part of the library that kind of was over a river. So they basically had a part of the building built over a river. And I remember going there and reading in that section and watching the water flow by. The other story about me and reading is when I was a little girl, and I mean little, like a toddler, like two, my mom would, of course, read me the regular like kid books, like, you know, all the kid books. But she also would have me play with the Wall Street Journal to like read. So I would, quote unquote, read the Wall Street Journal. Now, they do have little words in there. So for a 2.5-year-old, 2-year-old, there were words that I could pick up, like, and the, you know, those kinds of things. But when I look back, it kind of cracks me up because it's not a coincidence that I'm into personal finance. My mom started me young reading the Wall Street Journal. Anywho, I love writing and I love being a blogger. I love everything about sharing stories. And so it, in retrospect, should not be surprising that I've added author to my list of things that I do. And in this episode, I want to talk about the genesis of that. I want to help other bloggers imagine how to go from blog to book. And hopefully, especially because the time this episode is being released, it's pretty early in the year, hopefully you can take some action and make things happen where you can leverage your new books throughout the rest of the year. For the past 7 years, I've worked on paying off debt, bettering my finances, and figuring out how to earn more money passively. The key word is passively. The thing that most people will explain to you, especially if they're making consistent passive income, is in the beginning, it's active. It's a lot of work that you're having to do. I've side hustled like a ninja, doing brand ambassador work, staffed events, focus groups, freelance writing, in-store sampling, blogging, podcasting, the list is long. But 2018 signaled a turning point in both my earnings in terms of passive income and how I was wanting to earn money in terms of revenue for my business. I just had a really, I had an intense shift, like a mind shift, if you will, about what I needed to do moving forward. I took the year off. It was a good financial decision because I'm still paying off debt. And I just felt like, look, I need to take a year off to recoup some of the expenses that I incurred going to different events, things like that. And I'm very happy that I took that year off. It allowed me to think about the things I wanted to do. I was able to implement a lot of systems, a lot of projects, that kind of thing. But one of the things that also happened was I made the most that I'd ever made with my passive income and my online projects. And that really created a shift in my mind until I threw my back out in November, got exhausted by the election, like the midterm elections and was laying in my bed, stressed the hell out from everyone and everything, and just thinking, I'm so exhausted. So one of the things that I did in 2018 was I began to write books. I wrote nonfiction. I have a nonfiction book that I moved from one platform and uploaded into Amazon. But then, more importantly, I began to write fiction books. I've always loved stories. I love romances and fantasy and dystopian novels, sci-fi. So I'm a person who really enjoys fiction. And for some reason, romances in particular really engaged me and kind of tickled my fancy, if you know what I mean, no pun intended. And writing romances was and still is a surprisingly fun and lucrative part of my business. I freaking love it. Even though on the surface, it feels like it has nothing to do with anything related to personal finance, any of the stuff that I did leading up to last summer, if you look under the proverbial business hood, I will prove that actually it totally makes sense. So here's the thing. I'm going to ask a question. What are you a fan of? So for me, as a reader, I started reading romances around about 12 years old. I was always into them. I loved romance stories, but I also liked, like I said, sci-fi and fantasy novels and that kind of thing. I always had a love of the written word, and that started immediately when I started reading as a small child. I was and continue to be the person who pops into the library every single week, at least once a week, because I just have to go into a space that is dedicated to books. It makes me really happy. What I didn't realize when I began blogging consistently was that I was creating the foundation of transferable skills, specifically transferable writing skills. Here's an example of what I mean. Blogging taught me how to build affiliate income. Blogging helped me to learn how to tell stories and just tell my story in a compelling and interesting way. Blogging taught me how to copyright, because every post you do actually has a copywriting component to it. You have to figure out the title. You have to figure out the different H2 headers. Like, there's different things that you're doing to make what you've written interesting and exciting for other people to consume as content. Blogging taught me how to market my work. So you've written this blog post, then what? So I had to figure out how to do that. Blogging to nonfiction books is actually an intuitive leap. Like, it makes perfect sense that if you have a blog about food, that you would likely write a book about food. So if you're blogging about living a ketogenic lifestyle, the idea that you would write a book about ketogenic lifestyles is not a leap. But blogging to fiction books, I think for a lot of people, feels like a leap, and it shouldn't be. It just is crafting a story in a slightly different way. If you have a blog and would like to share your expertise gained from the insights that you've gained or shared via your blog, then you can absolutely do that. But if you want to focus on something different, you absolutely can. I personally was really drawn to writing fiction in particular because I enjoyed the stories. Like, these were stories I wanted to read myself. I felt like I could create stories that were better, or at least a lot more nuanced than a lot of the ones that I was reading. I wanted to see if I could exist in the space of some of my writing idols. And I discovered that it was just not that hard to start publishing books. And by making that one decision, I made $7,000 last year in passive income from July through January. That was a significant leap in my online income and my passive income. Especially considering that in November and December, I did nothing. Like, I just laid there because my back was jacked up. And honestly, I was just tired by then. And I was tired. So I made $7,000 extra. I was laying in bed, and I went to the mountains to soak in a hot tub for 2 months. And I was able to just live off the money that I was receiving from projects and also from this online income that I built. And it was glorious. here's the thing. It was the transferable skills that I gained from blogging about money that allowed me to even tap into this. So I learned from blogging how to figure out SEO, search engine optimization, marketing, consistency, email list building, engaging an audience, systems, building on success, mindset. So there's a whole mindset about how you tackle growing your online income, mindset, and then copywriting. And while I do personally love romance, I did pick the genre because I knew it was the most lucrative, and the subgenre was a subgenre. There's so many, but a couple of the subgenres, which are the ones that I write in, were ones that I was consistently reading. So why wouldn't I add to it? Especially when I discovered that I was not finding enough books that fit the criteria that I needed for great, entertaining books to read. Basically, I wanted to really explain the dynamics of relationships within the stories that I was writing. And in reality, I was exploring the dynamics of relationships with money and my relationships with other people in my blog. So again, it wasn't that big of a deal or a huge mindset shift to start writing these books. Now, I want to talk about my current revenue streams and transferable skills, and again, how book writing comes hand in hand with that. So I have a course, Make Money with eBooks, and it talks about all the stuff that I researched before I started writing my own books. It is a fantastic course. I can't say enough about it. I'm really proud of my course. I keep adding to it, refining it, tweaking it. It has 3 different levels to it. So if you're needing a how to write your first book course, this course is for you. It has bonus content. I will share a link in the show notes to access that information and the webinar for it. So I want you to watch the webinar and then kind of go from there. Book sales. So again, I just talked about how I write romances and I'm making money off of them and I love it. And I love it because I write a book, takes me about at a maximum 25 hours at the most. So that's, you know, if I do it in 5 days, it could be that I work 2 days, like huge, long days of just writing, or I could do it by small chunks of time. It just depends on what's going on. But usually it's about a week's worth of work. Money on the Mountain, which is a financial retreat that, like I said, is sponsoring this episode. It is a retreat for financially single women, but I will earn income off of some of the ticket sales as well as sponsorships, which I'm in the process of approaching people for. Affiliate income related to my blog. So that has been something that I've worked very hard on. And now that I hard on, I gotta laugh. Anywho, I've worked really diligently on growing my affiliate income. I'm gonna keep that in there because that's kind of funny. And that is something that I think is pretty important. Podcast related show notes, affiliate income, and sponsorships for podcast episodes, freelance writing. As my book income goes up, the freelance writing will go down until I phase it out. So just side note. But here's the thing, out of the 6 revenue streams I've just mentioned, 5 of them rely on writing. And then the 6th, which is the retreat, still relies on writing because I have to do copy and market the event. So basically, anyone who's blogging or doing anything where you're creating copy, you are very well equipped to also write books. So bloggers, I ask you now, where are your books? Spend a little bit of time talking about what happened in 2018 and what I did differently. So the first thing was, I understood that you really need to implement fast and fail fast. You have to implement quickly because if you don't, it gives you time to outthink action. So I know a lot of people who are like, well, I'm going to do this one thing. And then they go through like the process of doing that one thing. But then 6 months later, they still haven't launched a product, written a book, you know, started a blog, whatever it is they're trying to do, because they want it to be oh so perfect. Don't do that. Implement everything fast, especially if you can tell there is a need or an interest in it. It's pretty easy to validate your ideas nowadays. You can go on social media, you can research, you can Google it. You could go on YouTube. Like there was, it's not hard to validate whatever concept or idea that you would like to explore. Do it quickly. Do not do it slow, and do not give yourself enough time to talk yourself out of it. Batch your work. So one of the huge things that has made a difference, especially in 2019, as we're going all into the year now, it's now February as I record this, is I've batched my work. And so what that means is instead of scrambling all the time, trying to get stuff done, I can work a lot more effectively and focus on things that really will change the trajectory of my business. So instead of scrambling, I'm ready to do the things that have to be focused on versus trying to catch up. So batching my work has been a huge deal. Just understanding who I'm serving at this current moment. So my goal really is to support, encourage, and inspire financially single women to create their best lives through better finances and entrepreneurship, ideally digital entrepreneurship in some form or fashion. I want us to create our best lives so that if we meet someone, our person in the future, and we want to travel the world with them, we've created this healthy financial lifestyle and money coming in where it's just a no-brainer for both us and the other person. I just want us to feel comfortable asserting what we want for our lives. And so that is something that I really zeroed in on last year. It's like, who am I helping? Well, I'm helping people who are like me. Do I think I'm going to be single my whole life? No, but I'm single. I've been single for a significant amount of time, even while dating people where my finances are just like my choices are my choices. So the goal with what I do moving forward is to focus on that segment of people who need support, encouragement, and information. So that's why I focus on financially single women. Believing in what I do has made all the difference. Doubt kills dreams. So when I was not 100% convinced that I was awesome and that what I was doing is awesome or what I am doing is awesome, I would just talk myself out of everything. I would doubt what I was doing. I'd get depressed about certain things. And the more I work on being convinced that I'm just a rock star and what I'm doing is awesome and I'm helping great people and my products are incredible. Like as I get more, get focused on that kind of mindset, it's easier to communicate that to other people. It's easier to help other people. It's easier to sell what you're trying to sell. It's easier to write your blog posts. It's easier to create content because you know exactly what lane you're in and you believe 100% in what you're doing. So just believing in what I'm doing has made a big difference. Focusing on consistency. Consistency has been something that I've been working on for a while. And honestly, I think it's the most difficult and most challenging part of becoming an entrepreneur or becoming a digital entrepreneur, just because there's so much content that really has to be produced in order for you to get in front of people. There's a lot of components to it. And it's very easy to become inconsistent, especially as your online visibility and online content grows. So in my case, I have these different things that I'm doing. And so it's very easy if I'm not batching my blog posts to fall behind on that. And then like a month later, I have one blog post and I'm wondering why I can't grow my page views. It's very easy to have people think that you're flaky if you become inconsistent with sharing your blog posts even, and they may be reluctant to buy courses from you because they think you're flaky. So consistency is the number one thing that I think every business person, especially digital business, has to focus on because people notice, and that affects subconsciously and consciously how they view you and what you do. I built in time for breaks. So from February until about November 15th, like literally I have a time frame, I'm hustling. I'm going all in. I'm working my bootay off. I am not playing around, okay? But in the past, that's usually that's usually when I'm most productive, right? So nothing about that is surprising. It's just acknowledging that that's when I work the best for me. So from February until November, I work like a rock star. I hustle. I'm like on it. And then I get tired and I need a break and I don't want to work over the holidays. So I decided that I have to acknowledge my pace and what works best for me. And moving forward, I'm choosing to absorb November and December's work into the earlier months. That means that I have to work a little harder, but hopefully by growing passive income, that absorbs into those months. Like I should have earnings in those months. So wish me luck. I no longer have meetings for the most part. So I hate them. They're a waste of time for the most part. A lot of what people are meeting about nowadays can be handled, like the majority of it, via email and research. So I have become very strict about every other week. I have meetings, like an availability for meetings, and that's it. So at the time that I'm recording, I will not have meetings this upcoming week, and this upcoming week I'm writing a book, right? And I don't have to worry about switching my focus. And that was a big thing when I have meetings. Those weeks are they're not as productive. They're very difficult to switch from meeting mode to focus mode within the same day. So I don't do that anymore because it just was very frustrating for me and I couldn't get anything done. So that's what I did to change things in 2018. Those were some of the steps. Now you're probably wondering, what's it like writing fiction, in particular romance? So no pun intended, I absolutely love it. I love writing romance. It makes me happy. It's completely different from writing about money. It's not that writing about money makes me unhappy, but the ways that I can explore relationships and ideas and conflict and things like that in a romance, in a fictional romance book versus on a blog post, it's just night and day. It's so different and it's great. Similar to podcasting, where I get to have conversations that explore these different aspects related to relationships with money, my books allow me to do the same thing. So I talk about money in my books and like different social standing, individuals, why they do what they do. And a lot of times in my stories, it's related to their money situation. I do use a pen name, but it's not a secret because I sell a course about writing books. And I felt like it was important to share my pen name in order for people to read the books if they want it to. And I will share a link to that in the show notes. My pen name is Autumn Stone. Isn't that the best pen name ever for romance novels? Honestly, like if my mom had her way, she was going to name me Sunshine. I would have been Sunny Jackson. I'm serious. Like no, like seriously. So Autumn Stone is actually a really good pen name for me because it's a little splash of what could have been. I'm currently just about to start fleshing out a dystopian novel because I love dystopian novels. I think there's a lot going on nowadays that lends itself to writing a great dystopian novel. And I'm thinking about whether or not I should have a pen name for that too. I don't want to complicate my life any more than it needs to be this year. So I might publish it under Autumn Stone as well, but we'll see. In case you're wondering what my week, like what the weeks look like how do I get all this work done? Again, I'm batching a lot of work. So I've spent a lot of time at the end of December, January, just getting weeks ahead. And the goal is always to be about 3 weeks ahead in terms of having my editorial calendar fleshed out, having posts basically written or fleshed out, podcasts already scheduled and interviewed. So I spend a lot of time just prepping so that I can focus on marketing. Marketing is now my primary task. So because everything is prepped and ready to go, I work on how do I get in front of people to sell, whether it is my books, whether it's my course, whether it's getting my affiliate optimized blog posts in front of people so that more people can interact with my affiliate links. And that actually looks like that the strategy I'm using this year, it looks like it's going well. And so I will continue to do that. I've grown my page views and things like that. So I'm feeling very happy with what I'm doing. Again, consistency, working super hard and being consistent. So basically I can grow results. And in terms of writing books, I write a book in about 25 hours. So I set up my day to focus on what I don't have to do. So anything I don't have to do, like I have productivity blocks, I don't do them. So there are certain tasks that have to happen once a month, or certain tasks that have to happen a couple times a month. I have productivity blocks now. I just do those tasks within those blocks and then I'm done. Much better. I remove distractions. So I use a Chrome extension now to block social media and favorite websites so I don't get distracted and kind of lose time. I now don't, at this point, I won't be watching a lot of TV for about the next 7 months. I stream a lot of the TV that I watch nowadays. So it's great because if I want to watch, like, I'm going to totally share what I watch. It's hilarious. I watch Gotham and The Orville. I told you I like sci-fi. Star Trek Discovery. And I've been watching a lot of Netflix movies. So those things I can just stream later. And it's great because it means that I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything. I can catch up when it's appropriate for me and when I have the time. If the weather's crappy is usually when I want to sit down and watch these things. Today was hot, like seriously really hot. So I sat on a patio and worked on my podcast stuff until I had to come inside because I was feeling a little faint from the heat. In terms of like just eliminating distractions and giving myself time to do stuff during the week, I just make it happen. The biggest area that I struggle in is I need a really quiet place to work. Like I can't work from my house, not because it's not quiet, but because it's my house, so I get distracted by all the projects that have to happen. So I'm constantly trying to find the quietest place to work that's the least distracting. So that's been an ongoing thing. I also keep focused on the fact that the amount of work that I'm doing currently is just for a season in my life. So I feel like if I can grow my income to a certain amount by the summer, really by the summer, I'm pushing hard, that will be so exciting, so rewarding for me on so many levels. It's worth the hard work. It's just worth it. And hard work is great. Like, hard work just to work hard is silly and sucks, and I've been there. But the hard work that I'm doing, I see the light at the end of the tunnel. So I'm just pushing, and I'll keep you posted. I'm keeping perspective on the fact that the more productive I am at this moment in time, at the beginning of the year, the likelihood is that by the end of the year, I will have the results. I will reap the results of that hard work. So wish me luck. By the way, passive income rocks. A key takeaway that I do want you to leave with from this podcast episode is the following. Digital content functions the same way. Whether it's a book, whether it's blog posts, whether it's YouTube videos, whether it's podcast episodes, whatever it is, it functions in the same way. And here's why. Frequency of publishing, consistency, SEO, whether it's blog posts, your book descriptions, or show notes for your podcast, you need SEO. Building your email list, being clear about what your niche is. So for my books, it's a very clear niche that I'm writing in, and I have verticals within the book subgenres that I write in. Be clear about that to yourself and to others because it's just easier to grow what you're doing. Celebrate the small wins and then build on them. Track your results. I had a hard year last year. I had a hard 2018. It's very intense for way too many. I don't understand why it was so intense. It was just very intense. But when I looked at my actual results, I was like, oh my God, this is, wow. I can't believe the results I had. So celebrate the results that you achieve, the small wins, but you do need to track them because what isn't measured doesn't grow. Period. And especially if it's your income, if you're focusing on income. So for me in 2019, I'm really looking at how do I grow income? Period. If you're planning to go from blogging to books, make sure you sign up for my Write Your First Book Challenge today. You can text the following phrase, ebook challenge as one word, ebook challenge to 44222. You will gain access to a free webinar as well as 5 additional videos talking about different aspects of writing your first books, mindset, and taking action. It is very much a mindset challenge, though, so I think a lot of people talk themselves out of why they should or shouldn't write a book, and this challenge addresses that. And again, there's also the webinar included in that challenge. So it's a lot of value. Please do check it out. Please make sure to subscribe, like, and share this episode. And I hope you have a beautiful day. I'm recording this on Super Bowl Sunday, which I won't be watching. Go Broncos and go Denver Nuggets, because I'm all about basketball life. So anyway, I hope you have a great day. And please feel free to contact me if you've got questions. Take care. Bye.